If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms 103. 103rd division of the book of Psalms. Amen. God has just been good to us this year, church. Amen. We've been through a lot this year, and God's brought us through it. And you know what? He's going to take us through some more. Amen. But we need to keep him first in our mind. Amen. Praise God. Listen to the psalm as he wrote in the 103rd division of Psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For the Lord worked righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. For he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. For the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As father hath compassion on his children, so the Lord hath compassion on those who fear him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask God that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. For we give you praise today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Now, the sign out front, something important. You need to read these signs because most of them got a little hidden message in them. I was told last week it had on that, don't prepare for the rainy day so bad you miss the sunshine of the day. And I don't know how many people called me and told me I misspelled sunshine because I didn't put a U in it. I put an O in it. I said, I didn't misspell nothing. They said, oh, yes, S-U-N. I said, not if you're talking about God. I said, because some of us are busy getting ready for a rainy day, we forgot who the God was who's trying to bless us right now. And we need to hang on to that. Come on, church. I mean, we got folks that'll work 80 hours a week to buy everything for their family, and then won't even remember to go to church with them. Oh, that's good preaching. That sign out front said thanksgiving, after all, is an action word. You can't really be thankful unless you're willing to lift up holy hands in a sanctuary and praise him. You're not really thankful unless God becomes something you want to magnify and to praise. And notice how the psalmist begins. He said, oh, praise the Lord, oh, my soul, and all my innermost being. In other words, he said, I've not got my mind somewhere else. I'm not trying to find something to do during church. I go to church with a made-up mind. Today is a day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And we come to church, and all this time we're going to give to you, God, everything I am, everything I'm ever going to be. It's all about worshiping God when I get to the house of the Lord. Could you say amen? Some of you wouldn't worry so much if you forget about it when you walk through that door and get so just focus on God. Hello? I had a man one time told me he'd give me $100 if I had him out by 9 o'clock every night in revival. I said, why? He said, they got a series, Jake and the Fat Man's coming on every night at 9 o'clock on TBS, and I love it. You get me out this week by 9 o'clock, and I'll give you $100 extra at the end of the week. He said, I'll show you. He tore the $100 bill in half and gave me half of it. He said, you get the other half Friday. I made it Sunday night because we started church at 6. Monday night, I was a little mean, but I purposely made sure the altar service went over 9 o'clock. He come by, he said, well, son, I thought I was going to have to give you that money. I said, it's not a problem. You gave me the side with a seal on it. I got the $100 already. Oh. Say, preacher, do that to him. He deserved it, but I did wait till the end of the week and give him back the other half. Then he turned and gave me the half with it. Said, oh, you was right anyway. Glory. But you got some folks that take more word. You got some folks sitting here right now. You trying to figure out which part of the turkey or the ham you're going to get. Glory. Let me show you something, folks. I want to talk to you this morning on a subject I'm simply going to entitle The 5 Kernels of Corn. The pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock over 300 years ago, actually it's been longer than that now, 400 something years ago, when they landed there, they didn't see the times we see now. We're sitting here worried because the economy's down, but even in a downed economy, we're a lot better off than they were. Come on, church. Amen. The next time you get tempted to complain about what's going on around you, think about during the first long winter at Plymouth, there were seven times as many graves dug as there were homes built for people to live in. They kept waiting on a ship that was supposed to follow them with provisions for them to survive on during that winter. And when that ship showed up, it brought 35 more people and not 1 ounce of provision. They spent that year barely getting by on meager fare. William Brewster, writing in one of his writings, made this statement. He made a plate of clams and a glass of water, and he said, "Thank God for the abundance of the sea and the treasures hidden in the sand." The pilgrims didn't have much. They possessed great gratitude. And that gratitude to God is what this country was founded on. That's why they gave thanks every day. But you see, they got to understand, it became a custom to the pilgrims after that year that every year on this particular date we call Thanksgiving, they would have a harvest time and they would have a meal. And they would give thanks to God for what God had blessed them with. But on every plate would be 5 little kernels of corn, because that first year, that was all they got to eat every day. 5 little kernels of corn that lasted them from sun up to sundown, and they had to munch them and let them take, and that was all the nourishment they got. And they never forgot that God took care of them, and those 5 kernels of corn became efficient. But they would lay that corn on the plate, and then they would take each grain, and they would take one thing that they were very thankful for, and they'd thank God for that piece of corn, and they'd lay it down. Then they'd get another, and they would do that, and they would give 5 different things they were thankful for they took one bite of the food that God had blessed them with that year. And I know how we are. We're going to say the blessing and run back there. Most people's going to be eating now, and even on Thanksgiving Day this Thursday, you're going to be so ready to eat, you're not going to worry about what you're thankful for. But every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt for you to stop and say, "God, I just want to take time to thank you for what you've done for me." We sing a song around here, "Thank You, Lord." That song was written by Andre Crouch, based on the story in the Bible of the 10 lepers. You ever notice 10 of them came by? They'd been sick for years. God healed them. 9 of them took off to tell everybody about the healing, and only one came back and said, "I just want to thank you, God. I want to thank you because you took away what you did to me." Can I tell you, church, that's basically how it works today. Amen. God blesses 10 people, and only one says, "God, I'm thanking you for what you've done." Everybody else is just thinking it belongs to them. Can I tell you today, we need to be thankful for what God's done to us. We need to do like the psalmist said and get everything in us and say, "God, one time, I want to let you know I thank you for your power, your grace, your glory that has touched my life." Hello. Amen. Notice what he said. And I'm going to use the first 5 verses of this thing to give you 5 kernels that you ought to be thankful for. First of all, verse 3a, "Who forgives us of our sins." Glory. If nothing else, every one of you ought to be thankful for God and his forgiving grace that has forgiven us. Hello. Guy reading a book one day, sitting there just bothering his own business, reading a book, and about that time he threw the book down, started shouting all over the place. They thought he had gone crazy, as I bet you about. It was a National Geographic, and they're trying to figure out why this guy's looking at National Geographic and goes crazy. His family's all embarrassed, people standing around looking at him. Finally, his son gets the dad calmed down and said, "Dad, why are you shouting over a National Geographic?" Because he was noted for shouting. But they couldn't figure this out. Matter of fact, the story goes that his dad gave him that book, figuring there wasn't nothing in there he could find to shout about. He said, "I was reading here, son. It says there's a place in the ocean that's 5 miles deep." He said, "So?" He said, "God's put my sins in the depth of the sea, and they ain't coming back again." And I was reading that thinking, "My God, they're gone. They're not coming back. They're not coming this way again. They're not ever coming to give me, because God has taken care of me. My sins are so deep that even if a battleship was sunk to that depth, it'd crush it like an egg crate. And they're down there where no man can get to. Nobody can bring them back, but my sins are gone." Isn't that what the old song said? Amen. Thank God my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, church, listen, I got excited one night and I made that statement. I said, "My sins are under the sea." This guy caught me in the back of the church. He said, "I got you, preacher." I said, "What you got me on?" He said, "You said something tonight ain't in scripture." I said, what's that? He said, you said my sins are under the sea. He said, that's in a song, but it ain't in the Bible. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. He said, matter of fact, if it's in the Bible, I'll buy you a steak. I get inspired over good meat. I looked at him, I said, when am I going to get to eat that steak? He said, tonight, if you can give me scripture. I said, how about Micah chapter 7, verse 19? He said, what does it say? He said, God shall turn. He shall take our iniquities, and he shall cast them into the depth of the sea. He looked at me sort of funny. I said, I like my medium baked potato and salad with ranch dressing. I'll be up in 30 minutes. Glory. Amen. That's the best steak I've eaten in a long time. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We need to understand God has forgiven us. There's no mistake in it. God offers forgiveness to all people. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen, forgiveness is a promise of the Father. Amen. Even in Genesis chapter 3, God had already started telling us about the provision. I shall put enmity between thee and the seed of a woman. And he shall do what? He shall bruise the head of the serpent. What's he talking about? There's coming a time down the road where there's going to be someone who's going to pay the price for man. Can I tell you, you read the Bible. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. And the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And thou shalt call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's talking about a child. The prophet talked about there's coming a time when one's going to come who's going to take away the sin of the earth. Can I tell you that promise was fulfilled? Amen. In Jesus Christ, God made the promise, but the Son put the provision. In Jesus Christ we live, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. I am not who I am because I'm somebody. I am a child of God, washed in the blood of Calvary. By the grace of God, I am forgiven. And because I am forgiven, I got a right to say, now I am a son of God, a child of the newborn king. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo. It's proclaimed in the Bible, and it's required as a practice to the church. Some of y'all need to practice forgiveness. One of the hardest things for us to do is forgive ourselves of things we did in the past. But if God has washed it away, it ain't coming back. Amen. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. There is the kernel of redemption. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I've been redeemed by the blood of God. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, are you sure? Yes. I've been redeemed by the blood of God. And because of that, I'm free. Hello? My life has changed. Why? Because I repented. Let me tell you something, church. If you keep praying through about the same things, maybe you need to quit doing the same things. Somebody tells me, well, preacher, there's some things I can't quit. You ain't tried. See, God requires repentance. Repentance means I turned away from. Jesus referred to it this way. When a dog eats from its own vomit. So if you're going to keep eating your own vomit, just go ahead. I'm not particularly big on vomit. Matter of fact, somebody does it, I usually leave the room so I don't join them. But some of y'all go to a buffet full of it. And then tell me it's okay. No, it's not. If sin is in your life, repent. That means get away from it. Turn away. Leave it alone. God is not going to keep dealing with people who will not get away from the very things he's trying to get you out of. But we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Could you say amen to that, church? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? There was a governor in Texas met with the prisoners. He talked to them, said, now, if anybody's got anything you want to say to me when I get through, just stick around. 35 men waited. All 35 of them came to him, or 34 of the 35 came to him saying, look, I'm really not guilty. I shouldn't have been brought in here. You ought to let me out. I've been in here for years, and I need to get out. And church, one thing you will know if you ever go to jail, nobody's guilty. Hello? I've not found a one hard to come up and tell you they are. But this one guy waited. He was the last guy to come up to the governor. And the governor said, sir, can I help you? He said, yes, sir. I'm guilty. I've done everything they said to done. I've been here 15 years, governor. He said, I paid my price. I've gave my heart to God. I've repented. I've done everything I can to change my life. If I ever get out of here, I'm going to try to help people not come here. I'm going to do the best I can do to live my life. And all of a sudden, the governor said, hey, I'm going to pardon you. One of the other guys said, well, why not me? He said, no, you won't admit your guilt. and I've done seen evidence on you. He done, this man admits he done something wrong, but he's repented of it. And because of that, I'm going to give him his freedom. Can I tell you, God understands when we say, God, I'm sorry, and we really mean it, and he gets rid of it. The Bible said he cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. You know what that means? Once I've repented, they ain't coming back. Come on, church. Say, preacher, are you sure about that? He didn't say I cast them from north to south. Because if you cast them from north to south, you go up to the North Pole. You ever notice you pass the North Pole, you're going south? You pass the South Pole, you're going north. But if you start out west, there is no point of embarkation where you're going to turn around and be going east. You just keep going west right on around the world. Every time you go around, you're still going west. If you start going east, it's an infinite line that never ends. That's why God said, I have cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. They ain't coming back. They're just still going away and away and away. And they're not turning around to come see me again. Why? Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And now I belong to him. Could you say amen? Glory. And I ought to be thankful for the kernel of redemption that God's placed in my heart. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13, he said, enter into the gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be there that go thereat. But because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, few there be that find it. Not only are we redeemed from ourselves, we're redeemed from the clutches of hell. Hello? Everybody that died is destined to go to hell. It is the redemption of God that keeps us out. And but for that redemption, what was it the man said years ago in the sermon where he said, thy foot shall slip in due time? Amen. His name was Jonathan Edwards. He read a sermon. Took him 20 minutes to read it, put the sermon back in his coat, walked back to his house, and that night there were 785 people give their heart to God because it couldn't get away from the words of that man. He said, we are like spiders hanging over the threads of a burning hell that would consume us, but that one thread is the grace of Almighty God, and if we can grab that thread, the redemptive power of God will keep us from the things that would destroy us. Can I tell you this morning, I thank God that that little thread is sufficient today to bring me out, to set me up, to break the bondage of sin and break the bondage Satan has on me, that I can walk in redeemed and in a redeemed life in Jesus Christ. Could you say amen to that, church? Psalms 40, listen to what David said. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he had climbed unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Can I tell you, honey, there's a new song in the heart of a person that's born again and redeemed by the blood of God. Old things pass away, all things become new. You don't act the way you used to act, you don't do what you used to do, because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen, there's the kernel of healing. Verse 3b, who heals all your diseases. I was a little reluctant about this because we got so many people, probably somebody going to catch me going out the door and say, preacher, I've been praying for years and I ain't been healed. He didn't say he heals everybody. He just said he can heal every disease. I don't know why God doesn't heal everybody, but that don't mean he can't. Hello? I don't know why God didn't take that cancer out of my head without me having to have surgery. I have no idea. He didn't. But that don't mean I don't believe he couldn't. Guy called one day in a radio station and he was trying to put down miracles. He said, God tore down the walls of Jericho. But he don't do that no more. God parted the Red Sea. But he don't do that no more. He went through all the miracles of the Old Testament. God held the sun still in the sky. He didn't do it. He just stopped the earth from spinning. Come on, church. So I said, no, he held the sun still. The sun doesn't move. It's already still. We're spinning. That's why it moves. So he just stopped the earth. And when he got through, he said, put it right back in the same spin he did when it started. Oh, some of y'all missing it. Glory. What was it, kiddo? Y'all ain't hearing me. Glory. I got to get that down. That works good. Glory. Hey, that's better than what I used to do. I used to go, hello. I still do that, but it ain't as bad as it used to be. But sometimes when you're preaching, it's like your own hold. Ain't nobody on the other end of the line. So you go, hello, is something. I had one little girl counted one time to evangelize, and I said hello 200 times that night. I questioned her, and the pastor said, actually, it was 201. I counted. Glory. Amen. But now, church, listen. God heals every disease. There is no disease he cannot heal. The Bible tells me that when he was beaten in the judgment hall, that he was hit 39 times. That's only if you use the custom of the Jews. The Romans had no such custom. Hello? He wasn't beaten by a Jew. He was beaten by Romans. They didn't acknowledge that. The Jewish custom was to hit a guy 39 times, because if you went over 40, he got to hit you. There wasn't no Jew going to hit a Roman if he hit him more. They just beat to their arm, got tired, switched to the other. But suppose it was 39 times. So he got hit 39 times with a cat of nine tails that actually got 12 strands on it. At the end of those 12 strands are four pieces of meat or bone or nail or something that would dig into the flesh. So when they jerked, it pulled out flesh. So let's say it was 39 times with 12 stripes with those four places. Amen. That totals out to a number that will actually equal the number of every category of sickness and disease that man has ever been able to find or knows about. And you know what the Bible said? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by those stripes ye are healed. And can I tell you, in those stripes is a healing for every disease you can think of, and maybe even some we ain't come up with yet. And I don't care who you are, there is a God who can deliver you of every disease that comes in your life. Could you say amen? There are three things I want you to get out of this. Healing is the divine. Is the recovering of sickness, even in surgery, it can still be a divine event in your life. Not only that, the verse doesn't say God heals everyone, but that he heals all diseases. Number three, the main truth I learned is the promise is speaking about, bless the Lord, O my soul. He who heals all your diseases. Matthew 18 or 15, the 18th verse. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile man. See, the disease of the soul emanates from the virus of sin. And not only does God get rid of the disease that bothers us, that makes us sick, but he gets rid of the disease of sin. Somebody said, now preacher, you're hammering on that, because we need to understand something. When God comes in, sin goes out. Hello? That's good preaching. I'm not going to back up from the Word of God. I know y'all hearing different teaching. Well, you know, I got to do this every day. Not if you're born again. Not if God dwells in your life. Sin is not a constant repertoire of what you have to do anymore. Before I was saved, sin was natural to me. It wasn't something that bothered me. It didn't make me feel bad. When I got born again, I gained a conscience. And that conscience tells me something's wrong. I know better than to do it. And therefore, I understand I must leave it alone. Come on, church. That's good preaching. And you say, oh, preacher, you can't do that. Yes, you can. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the laws of sin and death. Oh, but I've got God in me, but I'm still going to sin. Beyond 1 John chapter 3, he who is born of God doth not sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and therefore he cannot sin. That's black and white word of God. Oh, but I'm going to go do something wrong. No, if you do, you got to repent. Hebrews 10, it said this in the 26th verse, for if a man willfully sin after he come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for that sin. Well, nobody can live right, not without trying. But if we try, it ain't that hard. Come on, church. See, I got y'all quiet now. Y'all sitting there, y'all gonna hit me with questions afterwards. Go for it. Oh, I sin every day. Then I'm praying for you. Be like the guy I heard preach one night. He said, oh, I tell you, I sinned at least 100 times this afternoon. I walked down through that university and them girls, them skimpy clothes. After church, he walked by me and said, what do you think about that preacher? I said, the Bible said if your eyes offend you, plug them out. He said, what does that mean? I said, if you can't look on a woman without lusting, maybe you need to do something with your eyes. I said, I tell you what, I'll call your wife, tell her what you preached about. She may help you. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Glory. God delivers us from the very things that keep us. Why? Because if my heart changes, then my desires for what I want to do should change. I'm going to move on. He gives us a kernel of love and compassion. Listen, verse 4a, he crowns you with love and compassion. We need to understand that God loves us so much that he doesn't care where we came from, how we got here. All that matters is we're here. God doesn't do background checks before he saves somebody. He already knows your background. He just loves you like you are. But he wants to change you for your grace, because he knows if he can change you, he can save you. And if he can save you, you can spend eternity with him. Hallelujah. Come on, church. God loves us. His mercies are new every day. That's what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations. Every day I got new hope because God's mercies are new in my life, because he loves me. Amen. Kernel number 5, and I'm hurrying because some of you is more hungry for that than you are this last kernel. Verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, listen to what Jesus said. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we hunger for the right things, then we will be filled with the right things. Hello? Listen to this. We seek God's righteousness. He grants it in Psalms 107, 8 and 10. 8 through 10, he said this, or 8 through 9, he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works in the children of men. For the satisfieth the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God can keep us by satisfying us with those things we look for and keep us going. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. And if we're willing to get a hold of it, God has the ability to renew in us and keep us looking good. Amen. Keep us alive in him. Amen. There was a surgeon one time, used to walk down the street every day with a flower in his lapel, and people would come to him and said, how do you keep that flower looking so good all day long, every day of your life? He lifted the lapel back, and in behind was a little bottle of water that the end of that flower was stuck in, so it had something to draw from to keep it new. Can I tell you, every day I live, I've got a God that's got a word and an anointing that I can draw from that can keep me and keep me anointed through his presence, keep me moving in his power, so that my joy can be full and my life can have grace. Could you say amen? Oh, but preacher, you can't be happy every day. I'm not. But the latter part of that's good, because he will then let me renew myself like an eagle. Eagle goes through life every year and a half to 2 years. They go through what's called a molting period. They lose their feathers. They get ugly. Eagles are pretty when they got feathers, but you take the feathers off a bird, it's some ugly thing. Hello? I ain't going there. I had a thought, but I'm going to leave it alone. Glory. And some of y'all already picked up on the fact that I'm a connoisseur of watching eagles and looking at it. That's some of the greatest start of my life. If I get anywhere around, I'm going to go find them. Most people think they know eagles. I was in Colorado. This lady said, there's eagles all over the river down there. You can go see them. How many of y'all want to know what was on that river eating them dead fish? It wasn't eagles. It was big birds, but it's buzzards. And they, some folks think the eagles. I'm going to leave it alone. But that eagle will lose all his feathers. And he'll get up and scrape on a rock, which he does every day to keep the calcium off his nose so he can breathe. And he'll sharpen his talons on that same rock. He'll sharpen the end of his beak out. And he'll sit there, and while he's ugly like that, he can't fly good because he ain't got his wings and nothing, because they're gone. I mean, they look bad, and you can see one, and they start through the molting period, and the feathers will be all messed up, and some of them missing for where they've been in fights, or they got caught in something. Then they look bad, and all them feathers come out, and then suddenly them new feathers start popping back out, and about 3 or 4 weeks after that, they got some feathers again, and they start ruffling them and working on them, and about 6 weeks into it, they'll go flying. I saw an eagle one time in North Carolina. Carolina. And the guy looked at me and said, how old do you think that eagle is? He flew by us, and there were two other eagles with him. I said, well, they're all about the same age. He said, the one in the front is almost 90 years old, but he renews himself, and he looks just like his great-great-grandkids that are following him through the air. I want to tell you something, church. We got a God that about time you think you can't take it no more, he can find a place where he can pull you aside, and he'll renew in you a fresh anointing. You can get Christian burnout where you're just so burned out on doing good stuff that you get tired and you need to get somewhere and say, God, one time I need you renewing me a fresh anointing, a fresh touch. I hear David say, cast me not away, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Every once in a while, we got to get on an altar and say, God, one more time, let me feel your spirit. One more time, God, renew in me a right spirit. God, one more time, pick me up and let me feel your glory. And the glory of God will come on us and fill us with his grace. Amen. He's going to give us strength and give us longevity. The result is a fulfilled life. Amen. No wonder the psalmist said, bless is the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Glory, would you stand with me? But I want to ask you, church, that this week when you sit down, sometime between now and Thursday, would you take time to thank God for the blessings? Would you think about this sermon? You may not have kernels of corn, but you got a hand. Hopefully there's four fingers and a thumb on it. Just hold your thumb up and say, God, I want to thank you because this happened in my life or because that happened in my life. God, I want to thank you. If you'll take time between now and Thursday just to think of five things God's done for you this year, Thursday will be one of the greatest days of your life if you let God have his way. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, move on us today. Lord, as we come before your presence with thanksgiving, we want to enter into your gates with praise. And God, I'm believing you right now. Touch our hearts and our lives today. Move on us with your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.